Welcome to Book Bumble, the podcast for people who love to read. In each episode, we'll introduce a stack of books that are tied together with a common connection to help take a deeper dive into each story.
We provide a space to talk books that is friendly and deep with a little hint of geek.
I'm Laura Pleasance.
And I'm Leslie Hopping.
And we are two friends who love spending time with our families, visiting libraries, and reading great books.
We are so happy you joined us. Let's get started.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Laura. Welcome, everyone. This is episode 27 of season 2. Today, our stack of books is tied together with a common theme of brothers and sisters or sibling relationships. Any of those relationships having to do with the younger members of a family. Mm-hmm. And we have quite a stack for you today with a lot of different kinds of books.
Sure do.
So what book do you want to start with today?
I want to kick the show off with one that I'm really excited about called Independence by Chitra Banerjee Devakaruni. It was published in 2023. She also wrote The Last Queen, The Palace of Illusions, and The Forest of Enchantments. And she's written like 20 or so books. They're all award-winning. And I really want to read The Last Queen next because it sounds really amazing.
And I read in her little biography that she, like a lot of her books are used in college like book lists.
Really?
Like reading books that they read for people read for classes.
Wow.
Which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I love that. Well, so we both read this book, Independence, as a book club read, and we thought it was a really great selection because there's just so much to discuss. Mm-hmm. So there were themes of really deep love between siblings and then also some other relationships. Mm-hmm. There's loss and there's loyalty, which always makes for interesting topics for book clubs to dissect, I think. It's a story of sisters swept up in the tide of the partition of India and Pakistan, with each sister on a divergent path. So here's the starting point of Independence. It's 1947, and three sisters live in a village in Bengal with their mother and father, who's a respected physician. Their mother has a very traditional role in the home. Mm-hmm. Priya is intelligent, and she has really lofty ideals, and she hopes to follow in her father's footsteps, although a female doing this is not exactly accepted in the culture at the time.
Right.
Deepa is the beauty who wants to marry well for herself and her family because she knows that if she marries well, that raises her family up in society.
And allows her sisters to marry better potentially.
Yeah. And Jamini, who is very religious and devout, and she's also a very talented seamstress. She feels a little less than and left out because she has a physical challenge that makes her feel left behind a lot of times. When their father is killed during a night of violence, their lives change in an instant, especially because this is a very male-dominated society, and you need that protection of a man. So not only are you losing your husband and father, you're also losing your protection.
Right.
So their mom becomes just someone they don't recognize.
Yeah.
And just changes so much after this. And the sisters become separated. So can they find their way back to one another, both physically and emotionally? Or have things gone too far? That's the question that you're asking yourself throughout this whole book. Because at times they're together, but they're separated emotionally, and then other times they're physically apart. So above all, it's a story of family bonds. The three sisters end up in such challenging places.
Yes.
Their mother kind of loses her mind after their father is killed, which actually irritated me quite a bit as a mother myself.
I kept saying, pull yourself together.
Right. You've got to do it for your daughters. Yes. But she, anyways, so the sisters are kind of left on their own to figure things out. Deepa ends up in Pakistan married to a Muslim, which is extremely dangerous because Muslims and Hindus are very, very divided in the story and at this time of partition.
Yeah.
It's really heart-wrenching to see the sisterly bonds pull apart because of this, and the tension over what will happen is terrific. It's very... prevalent in the story. You can almost cut it with a knife.
That's, I love that you described it as terrific, because it really is. That's a great description of it.
And the situations that the sisters put themselves into to still try to be connected are kind of scary, in my opinion. Then Priya becomes engaged, and she is bound and determined that she's going to become a doctor, even when she realizes this might separate her from those she loves, including her fiance. So that also affects the bonds connecting the family. And Jamini is secretly in love with Priya's fiance, and you know that's going to have to be addressed by the sisters. So it's just very engaging, all of these issues. I thought another thing that really stood out in the book were just the life-changing choices that the three women make. So some of the choices create the physical separations, like the marriage and having to actually be in Pakistan. And then some create emotional distance. So the times are quite different than today, but you're going to be able to put yourself in their shoes and wonder what you would do in a similar circumstance. The thing that ties the choices together, I thought, was courage. Every decision, whether I agreed with it or not, took an incredible amount of bravery to see through. And they all had to follow their hearts, even though they knew the consequences could be devastating. And they really did.
I mean, and there were some times that I kind of forgot what the time period was, and not in a bad way, because I was so enmeshed and easily relating to these sisters and what they were emotionally going through. But the physical courage and circumstances were the ones that brought you back to the time.
Exactly.
Because those times were, and where they were at those times, was really scary.
It really was. It really was. And I just, didn't you love the sense of place?
Yes.
I thought it was magical. Yes. I didn't really know anything about the historical time period of partition of India and Pakistan. And it was really devastating in the story with the loss of life. There was a lot of anger and radicalized beliefs. But also it was an exciting time as India threw off the colonial bondage. So I felt like I learned about a really dynamic time and event, and it was a really unsettling time. And I loved reading about these three sisters navigating all the change. It was kind of like being able to experience something really kind of adventurous isn't the right word, but really intense and dangerous. But you're just reading about it. So you're not really having to put yourself at risk.
And that's kind of my favorite way to learn about some of these historical times that I don't know about, is to initially be dipped in with these kinds of things. And then you can go down the rabbit hole and learn more
read about it.
But this really dips you in and gets you invested.
It really does. So I really loved the idea of independence in this book. The story covered collective independence of the country and then personal independence of the three sisters. The whole book is this journey of becoming independent, and I enjoyed how Chitra Banerjee, Deva Karuni wove the stories of the three sisters and their movement toward independence with the larger story of India's independence. It was just such an excellent craft and reminds me so much of how these authors are so gifted, because I could never, I have never been able to do this. After I read it, I think, why didn't I come up with that idea? But not before the fact. And making the title Independence, that's perfection. Each chapter in this book is from one of the sisters' perspectives, and you get to know not only that sister, but the other sisters and family members from these singular points of view. I thought that kept the book flowing, and it really kept my attention with this really strong character development. Another thing I really liked about this book was the motif that love is sometimes difficult. It's not always roses. And that was illustrated so many times over in this book. The mother-daughter love was hard. So was the sister love. And there's some other types of love in the story that are also tough that you'll find out when you read it. I loved the exploration of how love can endure even through these incredible obstacles, and love has to include forgiveness and acceptance. I thought it was really thought-provoking. I think the book has some good secondary characters as well, one being Priya's fiance, Amit. And also the girl's mother, even though she infuriated me, I thought she was a good secondary character. I love it when a book gets you caring enough to form a relationship with the secondary characters.
I think I texted you.
You did. About one of them.
Mm-hmm. How I was feeling at that moment about them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, you might love or hate these characters.
Yeah.
And if you do, you know you're invested.
Yes.
If you really feel strongly about a secondary character, it's a good book. So this was just a great read for sure. And it would be a wonderful selection for a book club. Also has a beautiful cover.
I was just going to say
and
that.
And inside the book is very beautiful. It's got some very beautiful artwork at the beginning of each chapter. So that's Independence by Chitra Banerjee Devakaruni.
I loved it. You chose that. Well, you brought it as an idea for the book club, and it was such a great find.
It was a really good...
Yeah.
It's just a good one for discussion.
Yeah. I mean, a friend of ours who's in the book club, she has 6 children. Not tons of time to read. People always ask, like, how do you and Laura have time to read all these books? I don't have little kids anymore. Mm-hmm. Really little kids. You don't have little kids. But she read it in a day.
Yeah. And she said she couldn't remember reading a book that quickly in forever.
Yes.
So it's a good one.
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, what do you have for us?
Well, I'm going to share a little bit of a backlister, but one I have thought about ever since I read it. This book I want to share is Vanessa and Her Sister by Priya Parmar, and it was published in 2014. It was probably the one book that I read that year since my kids were all really little. But Vanessa, Virginia, Toby, and Adrian are growing up in London in 1905. Their family picks up and moves to lovely Bloomsbury, and they bring together the kids bring together a brilliant group of artistic, bright young things that center mainly around the two sisters. Everybody kind of orbits around them.
Okay.
Vanessa, the painter, and Virginia, the writer. They would come to be these bright young things that are together. They would come to be known as the Bloomsbury Group.
Okay.
Edward Foster was a part of the group. He wrote A Room with a View. And the group included people who became famous or the first in whatever their given fields were. At the time, since none of them were yet seeing their fame, they became young bohemians who enjoyed spending time discussing, critiquing what they loved best. They would stay up late into the night, just discussing life and philosophy and the things that they loved. Vanessa had always been the main cheering section for her sister Virginia. Virginia enjoys living in her sister's orbit because she knows she is kind of taken care of. But Vanessa falls in love, and Virginia can't handle the betrayal she feels as being the potential second best in Vanessa's life. Virginia's already pretty possessive, a bit unhinged, volatile, passionate, many would say, and both sisters are wildly talented, although Vanessa has never yet sold one of her paintings, while Virginia has been getting things published here and there. Tragedy inevitably comes to the family, and Vanessa must decide if it's time to take care of herself or give up what she desires to take care of her sister. So it's that same kind of thought between siblings, like, where is the loyalty? Where does it need to be, to myself or to my family? So this is the story of Virginia Woolf's family, most specifically told by her sister, Vanessa. Virginia, we know, went on to write famous articles about women's roles and politics and books, including Mrs. Dalloway and To the Lighthouse, along with a mock biography called Flush about Elizabeth Barrett Browning's dog.
Interesting.
Which was illustrated by her sister, Vanessa. Which is kind of funny because when you look at the Bloomsbury group, one of the people in the group ended up being one of the first, like, biographers. So that must have come up in discussion in their nightly soirees.
Yeah.
I love learning about Virginia Woolf as a side character of her sister, Vanessa. Vanessa has such a rich story to tell, and the characters that travel in and out of their story are just fascinating. This book is not just about Vanessa and Virginia. The brothers Toby and Adrian are just as important, but a little less impactful on Vanessa's life choices, probably because of the freedoms of men versus women at the time. So Vanessa's decisions about Virginia were, you know, a lot more, I don't know, I'm saying it again, impactful than the boys, because the boys made their own decisions, they would be fine.
Right.
Again, just a picture of that, a snapshot of the time period. The relationships between the siblings could be transferred to today and seem relatable as far as the push and pull. There are always siblings that take charge, some that need taken care of, and this just exemplifies that characteristic. That's why we put these books in the stack. Like, you can find so many really good books focused on this relationship. There are also the sibling-like relationships of the Bloomsbury group in this novel. They behave so differently in the privacy of their meetings, and they can really show themselves to each other in ways they can't within society at the time. I like that they can be a makeshift found family for each other. This book is just fascinating, and one that you will have to go deep down the rabbit hole on, because the people are real and they were quite the characters.
They really were.
I know, but it's an oldie, but it really is a goldie, a goodie.
It's an oldie, but a goldie.
A goldie. I was going to say that. I feel like I could trademark
could say that.
An oldie, but a goldie.
But if you can remember it.
I'm not good with things. But it's interesting because Virginia went on to filling her pockets full of rocks and walking into a river and dying.
You told me about this book, and I read this a few years ago, and I remember that what stood out to me was the sister relationship when Vanessa fell in love. And Virginia really couldn't handle it. There was a lot of jealousy, and that was really interesting, because then at night they're getting together with their Bloomsbury group, which also was fascinating because they were kind of like siblings, and they were just insane, like the way they would stay up and...
They'd all be lounging around with their cigarettes and their drinks.
but I do, that did really stand out to me that here are these sisters, and Vanessa has been a huge cheerleader of Virginia and really tried to help her also with her moods and her emotions. And then she falls in love, and then it's almost, it was so hard because she... Like, should I be in love?
Is it okay?
It's affecting my sister. Should I give this up? That was really good.
Yeah. I it's It's one of those books that, I mean, I don't think about every day, but when I'm thinking about books that have been impactful or ones that I just, that sit with me and remember, that I remember it, this is one of those books. And I said, we've talked about it for months. Like, oh yeah, we have this book.
Yeah.
We can include it at some point. And I just really wanted to, I thought this is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So that's perfect. Vanessa and Her Sister by Priya Padmar.
Cool.
Well, Laura, before we get to another book from our stack, we want to make sure to share our experience with Book of the Month. They make it super easy to decide what to read next. It can be overwhelming to look at lists of new releases, and Book of the Month offers just the right amount of books to select from. We got to choose from a pretty amazing book list with a variety of genres, some by authors we've heard of, and some debuts.
Yeah, and all the titles sounded so wonderful. And I think we each made a great selection based on the type of readers we are. We were both drawn to different genres. So I chose All We Were Promised by Ashton Lattimore. It's a debut historical fiction pick. And it's so good because it's the story of a housemaid with a dangerous family secret who conspires with a wealthy young abolitionist to help an enslaved girl escape in pre-Civil War Philadelphia. Really good.
Yes. I love the time period. Yeah. We both like to read books then.
Me too.
I chose The Reappearance of Rachel Price by Holly Jackson. This one, a mystery thriller, which is, I know, shocking for me, follows this teen search for the truth about her mother's really surprising disappearance, and then her reappearance during the film of a true crime documentary. So this book list is just so well curated. Their editorial team reads through hundreds of new release fictions, I feel like just for us, and chooses a curated selection of the best books by new and upcoming authors, just making it a little easier for us to pick the ones that we want to read.
Yeah, and it's a super fun process. So we love that we can get new hardcovers delivered to us with free shipping and then use their app for reading challenges with rewards and to keep track of our reading progress. There are these little fun surprises along the way, and using the app is really fun. We're super excited to see the latest new releases at the start of each month.
Mm-hmm. You can try Book of the Month 2 this month. It's easy peasy. Simply use the code PASTEL, and you can get your first book in hardcover or audio for only $5.
Wow.
And they're new releases, so it's good to grab them up. Again, use the code PASTEL and get your first book for only $5 at bookofthemonth.com. Laura, what book do you want to share next?
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to talk about this book. I want to tell you about Long Way Down by Jason Reynolds. It was published in 2017. It has also been made into a graphic novel.
Oh.
This book is phenomenal, and it's won so, so many awards, and I have to say them because you're not going to believe it. It was a Newbery Honor Book, a Coretta Scott King Honor Book, a Prince Honor Book, a Time Best Young Adult Book of All Time.
Wow.
A Los Angeles Times Book Prize winner for young adult literature. And then it was longlisted for the National Book Award for Young People's Literature. It won the Walter Dean Myers Award, Edgar Award winner for Best Young Adult Fiction, a Parents' Choice Gold Award winner, an Entertainment Weekly Best Young Adult Book of 2017, and some others.
Wow.
It's really terrific.
How did you hear about this one? Do you remember? I'm not good about that.
I've heard about this one actually. Well, I know I read The Hate U Give.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I think after I read that, I heard about this one. So I'm actually going to talk about pairing those books together a little bit later. No. So this book is labeled as a young adult book, but this is a book for adults as well. It's so good, and it reads really quickly with a lot of things to think about. And it's one I won't soon forget, and I'll be telling friends about. I've actually texted a few friends about it already. This book spans 1 minute and 7 seconds, so 67 seconds, right? That's
that already puts propulsion into the book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it begins with 15-year-old Will getting on an elevator a day or so after witnessing his older brother Sean being shot and killed. Mm-hmm. Will plans to follow the rules, of which there are three. 1, no crying. 2, no snitching. 3, get revenge no matter what. Mm. So Will has his brother's gun tucked into his pants, and he's planning to kill the person who killed Sean. As the elevator moves downward from the 8th floor, it stops on different floors to let a person on who asks Will questions and gives him information and things to think about. The brilliant part, each one of these people is already dead.
Oh.
It's a long way down on the elevator, and Will has something to decide.
Whoa.
So, wow, did I love this book. Mm. It's in free verse, so that's what makes it a fairly quick read, but there's so much to take in. You're going to want to talk about this book. It would make a great book club, a book group, or buddy read. You could read it with your teen, if you have one, or your book club. There's so many feelings and issues to unpack, and it's just, it's got simplicity, but it's beautiful and deep. Mm-hmm. You're going to get a glimpse into the relationship of the brothers, Will and Sean. Will really looked up to his brother, and he's honest about the type of brother he was. And you're also going to get a peek into another pair of brothers on the elevator, too. And it was interesting thinking of the three rules. And remember, number three was get revenge no matter what. So we start to see how that set of rules plays into what Will has to decide as well. Jason Reynolds, the author, lets us see the environment Will is growing up in. And as a reader, this is important because it might be different or the same as the one you grew up in, but it's shown in a non-judgmental way. And it really allows you to think about some deep things. And it got me as an adult thinking about this 15-year-old child. Mm-hmm. Sorry, 15 years old. That's a child.
Right, he's a child.
This situation he was in. And then the rules and norms of his existence. He's going to be making this life-altering decision, and it's influenced by his reality and his community, just like the decisions that your children are made are influenced by that, and the decisions that we as adults make are influenced. So I kept coming back to the fact that he's a kid, and Reynolds said that he didn't want to teach a lesson with this book, but rather he wanted to create a space for people to feel empathy and think about people who are different from themselves. Isn't that good?
Yeah, I was thinking that because reading this with my kids, those three rules are not three rules I hope my kids see as very black and white rules. But again, that's part of our situation that they're growing up in.
They're living in a different type of a community. So I think that's what makes this book such a good one for discussion, because it really brings up the idea of realizing that everyone is carrying something. You are, I know I am, and everyone's something is often hidden. So you don't really know what's going on with others.
Yes.
And it's easy to hear a situation like this and judge and just be like, that's so wrong. But we don't really know what's going on.
And
so
that's probably with the free verse or the, that really adds to the emotion.
It does. So, I mean, it is so beautiful. And I just love the choice to put it in verse structure. It seems like a much longer book as far as the content and the heart of the story goes, because it's written in such a masterful way. If you've never tried a novel in verse, do it with this book, please. Mm-hmm. It takes a tough topic to discuss and really even to think about. And it makes it super accessible and readable with just the beautiful and affecting language and structure. So I listened to actually a couple of interviews with Jason Reynolds. He's a really cool guy. And he said that he originally wrote the book in prose, but he wanted it to have a sense of urgency since it only spans the 67 seconds. So he decided to write it in verse. This story had my full attention right off the bat. It really grabs you, and I didn't stop until I was done. I think it's going to really push your thinking. At least it did mine. And I think that's always a good thing. Mm-hmm. He is such an interesting person himself, both as a person and an author. I would really highly recommend listening to or reading some interviews with him. It's going to deepen your experience of reading really any of his work. He also has an incredible backlist of like 20 books.
Oh,
so wow. Some of them, like Stunt Boy, are for younger readers. And then some, like Miles Morales, are about Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And then many, including The Boy in the Black Suit, As Brave as You, All American Boys, and When I Was the Greatest are award winners. He's also got a 4-book series called Track that is critically acclaimed. So check his work out. You'll be glad that you did. I think, like I was saying earlier, that this book would be a perfect choice to pair with The Hate You Give by Angie Thomas. And if you haven't read that one, that's also an amazing book. I both had the print copy of this book and I listened to it. He reads it. And in one of the interviews, I think it was actually the interview at the end of the audiobook, he says he wanted to read it because it's poetry and only he knew where the emphasis needed to be placed. And so he wanted to do it himself. He didn't want somebody else interpreting it. Mm-hmm. It's just, he's a very interesting, he works a lot with kids in detention centers. He also has had his own experience that he brings to his different books. It's great. So it's young adult, so 9th grade and up. I personally would not do it any younger than that.
Okay.
And I really think would be so great to read with your kid and talk about it. It's fantastic. Long Way Down by Jason Reynolds.
Mm. You mentioned this right after you finished reading it. Mm-hmm. I need to get it on my list.
Yeah, it's so good. And I think the audio is like 2 hours.
Oh, goodness. So,
yeah. Anyways.
All right.
Do it.
Well, yes, ma'am. I want to share another great historical fiction book about a brother and sister pair. This one, I had heard about the brother, but had no idea about the sister. The book I want to share is Starring Adele Astaire by Eliza Knight.
Oh, I'm so excited for you to talk about this one.
Did you know that Fred Astaire had a sister?
No. I didn't.
I mean, not that I'm like... I know everything about Fred Astaire.
No, but...
Okay, well, let me go. Let me start. Here's the starting point. I know a little bit, like I said, about Fred Astaire. He was a famous dancer, and one of his most famous partners was Ginger Rogers. But honestly, that was about all I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this book showed me there was so much more to his story. Fred and Adele grew up being super close. Adele was a wonderful and supportive older sister. When Fred was, I think, about 5 and Adele 7 or 8, they were showing really great promise, dancing, singing. So the father stayed behind in Nebraska to be able to continue working, and then he would send money to his wife in New York City to help take care of and pay for Adele and Fred's dancing, their outfits and their care. And it wasn't like nowadays where they could just fly back and forth and visit. Mm-hmm. They only corresponded through letters.
Okay. Well, yeah.
So they gave up a lot. The family gave up a lot for mm-hmm. them to be in New York City. Eventually, they were so well known that they were invited to perform in London. So they boarded a ship along with their mother and headed to fulfill more of their dreams. All this time, Adele was super happy with her good fortune. She was very appreciative of where she came from and where she ended up. But she knew she kind of wanted more. She wanted to find love. She wanted to have a house full of children. Just all of the rest of these things. And she kind of knew that her time was running out for that. But she cared so much for her brother and appreciated her parents' sacrifices that she stayed focused on her job. Eventually, after being courted by, wait for it, because I know you're going to love this, the Prince of Wales.
What?
Like, he came to see a show, and they would go out every evening after the show.
Love it.
She meets Sir Charles Cavendish, and she is smitten immediately. But is everything as good as it seems, and is it worth what she will have to give up? Again, back to this loyalty to family.
Yeah. We know all four of the books have that. Mm-hmm. And should they, they're going to all have to give something up to kind of get what they want.
Isn't that interesting?
It's good, so good interesting. Connection.
The second voice in this wonderful book is that of Violet Wood, about the same age as Adele. All she wants to do is become a star, but she's not in a situation that is easy, that it's easy to achieve on her own right now. When we meet Violet, she is working kind of as a drink girl at the Broadway facility. So she provides drinks. She finally talks the boss into letting her try out as a dancer because that's her real dream. But she has to make ends meet. Eventually, in this London premiere, Adele befriends Violet and helps her achieve her rags-to-riches dreams, much like Adele did.
Ooh, I love that.
Adele kind of takes her under her wing. Violet takes to the new lifestyle she achieves alongside Adele and is not sure what to do once Adele is not by her side. Mm. This is the story of two very high-spirited and passionate artists, actually three if you include Fred, with desires that sometimes conflict with the reality of their lives. So, things I loved. The glitz and glam of the 20s, paired with kind of wartime London and the not-so-glitzy glam. So, Adele's nickname was, this is what Fred and Adele called each other. He called her Good Time Charlie, and she called him Moaning Minnie.
Oh.
Because he was considered really uptight about their rehearsal schedule.
Oh, I love that.
So that's love what they would call each other. Because once Adele was done with the show, she was ready to go out and just enjoy her time and her freedom. And Fred was like, okay,
he's coming around.
He's like, but we need to be back by midnight because we have rehearsal in the morning. So the relationship between Fred and Adele is really done to perfection. It's not overdone, but it's not ignored. It is real, feels very relatable again, even though it's beyond what most siblings would ever achieve together, obviously. But there are sacrifices on both ends, and it's just a joy to get to see how they handle the situations while holding on to each other and their own individual desires. Mm-hmm. Both have them, and they don't always match up. So Adele was the more famous of the siblings.
What?
She actually was the one. She was very personable. She was really funny. A lot of people consider her one of the first kind of vaudeville women.
Oh.
Like slapstick kind of funny. And they did Broadway, vaudeville, like I said, in New York City before going to London. It seems she stayed in it as long as she did. Only for her brother.
Yeah.
Because really, we just remember him with dancers like Ginger Rogers. So in this story, she doesn't even come into play, really, because it's just about their relationship. So Eliza Knight, the author, did such great research. Her author notes are really amazing, and I love the way she came into writing this amazing book about Adele Astaire. She actually was reading these letters from another character from another book, and they talked about meeting up with Deli, a woman named Deli. So she dove into that a little bit more, and it was Adele.
Oh, wow.
And she's like, wait, Adele Astaire? I feel like I know who that should be. And then therein lies the crux of the story.
Yeah.
So make sure to check these author notes out after reading the book. They won't ruin the read, but I think reading it after just brings it all together nicely.
I'd like to do it after, too. Yeah.
Unless someone tells me, read them before.
Yeah.
I feel like the author puts them at the end for a reason.
Yeah.
They're an afterthought that can bring some things together.
Right.
This book was really a perfect balance of so many different things that I love in my books. It surprised me so many times, sending me to my phone to search for something to see if it really happened, and it did. And to see pictures of Adele and Fred during each of the time periods highlighted in this book.
Mm.
I just wanted to see pictures. I wanted to see them dancing. I wanted to hear her speaking. I don't know. This book really drew you in. So I really think you'll enjoy getting lost in this amazing sibling story. And that's starring Adele Astaire by Eliza Knight.
I really want to read this. It has the coolest cover of the two of them. Because I've never heard of her before. So I'm right now reading The Spectacular by Fiona Davis, set in a different time period, but about a woman who's becoming a rockette. And having to possibly give up something to become that. So I think these two would be really fun to read together.
Yeah.
Like if you liked one, you would like the other.
Well, I think with Adele, I mean, again, that time period where a woman's decision is giving something up. If she's going to be on the stage.
Right.
She's not going to be a wife and a mother.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those two things don't really go together at that
time
period. It'd be hard to do now, even, but, I mean, it would be acceptable.
Right.
And then it wasn't acceptable.
It wasn't.
Where Fred just kept going in his career and could marry because his wife would be taking care of any kids that they had.
Exactly.
And he could keep traveling, but she could not.
Exactly.
So what's in your hand?
Okay, so in my hand, I have one that I just enjoyed so much called Search by Michelle Honeyven. It came out in 2022, and this book surprised me in a lot of ways, and I really, really enjoyed it. Search is her fifth book, but the first that I've read.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of her books has been nominated for or won awards. Her books include Round Rock, James Land, Blame, and Off Course. So here's a starting point for Search. Dana is a restaurant critic. She's an author and a member of a progressive Unitarian Universalist church in California. She's an active member, and she's asked to serve on a search committee when the congregation needs a new minister. And Dana needs an idea for a new book, so she decides to use the experience as the basis for a memoir with recipes.
Yes.
This was a delicious, pun intended, book. I loved every single thing about it. The other members of the committee are so quirky, and they create a ton of drama during the search. They each have individual agendas, and these internal workings made just such a fantastic story. There's definitely a squeaky wheel type who holds sway over some others. And almost kind of held some people hostage. I thought the eight characters who made up the search committee were so well developed, and their dynamic is really fun to read about. They were all passionate, and some were super frustrating. If you have ever been on any type of committee, you will relate. They meet for a whole year, and they have dinner and cocktails with each meeting, and the food and drink descriptions are utterly mouthwatering. Michelle Honeyven is a James Beard Award-winning writer for feature writing with recipes. And she's also won other awards for her food writing. Oh. So these descriptions are wonderful and they add a different element to the story. And there are recipes in the back of the book. One that I really want to try is these chocolate chip cookies that sounded amazing. So the candidates for minister are super interesting and they're very non-traditional. And I learned a lot about the Unitarian Universalist traditions through these people. I loved reading about each one and their approach to leading a congregation. And I didn't expect the ending at all. I had a certain way I thought it was going to go throughout the whole narrative, and I was surprised.
That's always fun.
This is a clever and it's an original story, and I loved everything about it, and the cover is fantastic.
I have it on my shelf right now.
It's really pretty, isn't it?
It is really pretty.
So that's Search by Michelle Huneven.
Okay, remember to subscribe and share us with a friend and take a peek at Book of the Month and give it a try.
So glad you joined us today. If you'd like some other titles that go along with this theme, check out our show notes from today's episode.
Please share this episode with a friend and check us out on Instagram at The Book Bumble. We'd love it if you would subscribe to our podcast. Join us next time with a new bundle of wonderful reads.
Until next time.